All right, so this is part two of this AI kind of class on building stuff. And last time that we talked yesterday, we came up with the idea. It was Lauren's idea around a centralized prospecting tool. The big idea on the tool was Lauren has lists in multiple places, and I think it's just hard to track and know that you're following up with people. And you want one centralized place for this. And another big thing that we identified was that Dripify has some cool abilities to use LinkedIn, and we want to be able to use LinkedIn for prospecting, but we don't have access to the API, so we have to come up with a solution for that. We ran a big prompt through Claude Code, and I'm showing you like the scary version of the terminal, and it asked us for some clarification questions, and we answered those. And then it gave us like six phases. It called it phases 0 through 5. And as of yesterday, we built the first two phases. So before we dive in and I show you kind of what's been built and really just pick up from where it left off, so you don't have any questions about where we were, anyone miss yesterday, want to talk about it? Cool. All right, I'm just
I just will say I missed yesterday. Is that going to be okay for me to just kind of like, will I
yeah.
catch up?
Just to show you, we just like gave it a mega prompt. So the prompt here was, all this stuff. I want you to make a plan on how we can build a prospecting tool for my fractional CMO business. The current issue is that I have lists of prospects from Apollo and LinkedIn Sales Nav that it's hard to keep up with. I use Dripify to send emails, but it's not very useful. I want a single tool. And then we asked it some kind of questions for it to clarify. It then came back to us and laid out this architecture, which is over all of our heads, I think. Postgres for a database, Next.js for the UI. These things, like we talked to Lisa yesterday, we kind of don't know what they mean. I mean, I know what they mean. I use Postgres for a couple projects and I know what Next.js is, but that doesn't matter that I've heard of it before. Playwright for LinkedIn, I know that that's the right solution. Twilio for SMS. Twilio is like the backbone of SMS. So that makes sense. And then the Gmail API all sounds good. And this looks a little buggered, but I swear it looked better when we looked at it before. There you go. And it gave us a bunch of stuff, and we kind of skimmed over this and just said, like, yeah, that looks good. So here are the phases that it offered to build. First, the skeleton. First thing is the repo, which we'll talk about. Docker Compose, Postgres schema, CSV importer for Apollo, basic prospect list detail UI. Great. And then it's going to do the Gmail OAuth, send emails via the API, pixel with click tracking, reply detection, sequence number, manual LinkedIn stuff, if you do LinkedIn stuff. Then it's going to add in LinkedIn automation as the next phase. And then it's going to do some scoring stuff for signals to tell us if a business is like hiring or if there's a new CEO or something like that. And then drafting messages to send to folks, and then doing text message stuff, which is going to require us to register a phone number for us to be able to do text messages. And I think I just want to share that, like, this alone and handing this off to someone to build is powerful. I think, Lauren, you couldn't have articulated this before in this level of clarity, right?
No, this is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And like, and I want to suggest that like stopping here is a fine place to stop. Like, know your limits. I'll walk you through the whole thing and maybe we can build something today and try it. We'll see. But I want you to have like a sense of comfort and confidence here that like we did it, guys. Like, we laid out a structure that would have taken you weeks to clarify, and we did it in an hour. And I think that to me, this is breaking down the line between, oh shit, we have a technical problem and I need a technical solution. I don't know how to do that, and I have to go find someone to even come up with what the solution could even look like, and then I have to trust them, versus I have a problem. I'm going to clarify the problem. I'm going to develop the structure of a solution. And then I can hand that solution structure off to someone else. And they can be like, yes to 99% of it. This should be changed for this reason. And you're like, cool, I trust you. And then they go and build that thing. My ability to hand this off, literally stopping at this date and just replying, build this into a document that I can hand off to a developer. Like, that would have saved us in the development timeline, weeks or months. I remember when I used to work at the tech and marketing agency, we would call these technical design documents or TDDs. And the idea would be, Lauren, you'd come to my agency and you'd say, hey, I want to build this thing. I'm like, cool. I have no idea how big that's going to be. Pay our team for 25 hours and we'll develop a TDD for you. And then we'll deliver that to you and it will block everything out down to the hour and give you a range of what we really expect the cost to be. So then we're going to go work for 25, man hours, which is going to take us like 2 weeks probably. So now we're probably 3 weeks from our first conversation. You get the TDD back and then you make the decision if you want to move forward. We got there in 1 hour. So
Yeah, it's crazy.
I want to hear, like, Ashley, is this something that you feel like you could have done? You could have asked these questions. Let's say you have the infrastructure set up for Claude Code. Could you have asked these questions and gotten this far and felt like, okay, I know enough to hand off to someone who's smarter than me to build?
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Globalize this, Ashley. Now that you know how to do this, let's say you're working with an IVF clinic and they're using some CRM or patient management software, some PMS, and you want to get data with marketing mixed into it. You want to know like where leads came from, and but you can't use an off-the-shelf tool because they're not HIPAA compliant. So you say, okay, we have all this patient information, and I want to collect marketing data. Do you think you could like articulate a couple sentences on what you need and the tools, and like have it draft a solution thus far with phases?
Yeah.
Cool. Great. So everything else that happens after this is going to be technical. But I want to show it to you so you're not scared. And I want to show you that all I'm doing is very dumbly copying and pasting stuff. And that's going to give us a solution, likely. But I want to suggest that, like, right now, you're incredibly powerful. And you don't need kind of stage two today. You know how to do this stuff, and this alone, handing off to a developer is just amazing. And the problem with some of you is you're too technical and you're going to want to play this game of like, oh, let's go further. Let's develop all five phases. Let's test it. Let's build it. Let's run it. But then what you forget is let's maintain it. And that becomes like the chore. Maintenance sucks. Something breaks. Meta releases a new API. LinkedIn changes something. There's a new version of Next.js that breaks something. Sucks. You got to go fix it. You can, and you can just ask like Claude to fix it for you, but you're now living in the world of supporting the technology that you guided the build of. And I want to suggest again that you're not the right person for that, likely. And you would make a lot more money just being a CMO than you would be kind of a CMO who's doing marketing technology builds. So be cautious of that. Okay, Lisa, I see your hand up, but just anyone have any questions on that before I go to Lisa? Like, Britt, you feel after building your website like a sense of confidence that you could build other things like this, right?
Absolutely.
And the difference between your website and this app is not functionally too different as far as how you operate with Claude.
I fully agree. Yeah, I watched a podcast yesterday where it just reminded me the things that you say, where it's like, don't ask AI to do a task. Like, tell it what you where you want to go. Like, tell it your strategy and then let it back into it, ask you a lot of questions. That's kind of it's what you've done here. I've been using it more task-based. Help me make an Excel. Okay, well, like, what do you need the Excel for? Is Excel the right platform? So that's kind of the difference.
Yeah, great. Love it. Love it. Okay, Lisa, what's up?
Just sorry, just clarity. So this is really about automating this and freeing up tools like Drippify or whatever we can free up through an automating for prospecting. Is that my understanding?
Yes, I think we're solving a bigger problem that's unique. I think we're solving a personal software problem for Lauren, which is she's using tools that don't do the things she needs them to do.
Okay.
So it's not replacing something, because that would be easier, I think. But right now we're trying to solve, I think, a bespoke problem that exists for Lauren.
But
Okay, that's
11 other people on the call yesterday also had this
right. Yeah.
problem. Well, I will just say I'm having the same problem, so this is like really cool. And I'm
Yeah.
sorry I missed yesterday, but thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, great. Great. And we offered to, like, the options were run it on my computer, run it on my, run it on a server. And I think there's a third, I can't remember. Like, run it on this computer, run it on a basement computer, run it on a server or something. We're just going to run it on this computer just to keep things easy. For you to know, I'm in Alabama. I'm on my laptop. I'm remoting in. This is my desktop at home. So this is my computer that's got a ton of RAM on it, and I'm operating that machine. That's the screen that you're seeing right now. So I couldn't do this on my laptop with the same speed. I probably could do it. It would just like heat the whole room and be really slow. All right, so let's just take a look here, and it laid out the phases for me. It says phase one replaces Drippify for you. So that's exciting, Lauren. If we got through phase one, then Drippify would be done. So we're going to scroll down. And we think this will be 25 to 50 bucks a month if we add Twilio and then the Claude tokens for the rewriting of stuff. Remember here that there's two ways that we're going to use Claude. Way number one is the development of the software. Way number two is that we're going to reference, or we're going to call the Claude's API to write content for us. But that really only comes on the drafting side of things. If you write all the emails yourself, we don't have to move to phase four, and therefore we don't need the Claude integration. So it says, want me to start with phase zero, the repo scaffold and Docker Compose and all that? And I said, start with phase zero. So it did all the phase zero stuff. And you can read this if you want, but it doesn't make sense to me. Remember that magic is an acceptable answer for how this stuff works. And we get further down. It's verifying the structure. Phase zero done. Let me verify again. Here's the repo. Cool. And phase zero, it keeps saying it's done. Okay, so here we go. So what it built? Next.js 15. This is the version of Next.js. Doesn't really matter. TS scaffolding. Tailwind ready, Docker Compose YAML file, blah, blah, blah. So to run it, do these things. This is it. So I'm just gonna run it. Let's just see what happens. I'm gonna go to CMD and we'll zoom in a bit. And I'm gonna move to my project folder. Is that it? Cool. So CMOX demo. So I'm just in that folder, my D drive project CMOX demo folder. That's where I started everything. And it says type in Docker Compose up D. Compose up D. So unable to get the image. Can't find it. What do I do? Copy all of this. Paste it all. Hit enter. I'm like a super smooth brain on this stuff. I'm not even going to go and try to solve this problem on my own. Docker Desktop isn't running. Oh, so I need to go here and it's Docker Desktop. Great. I have this installed. You would need to install the software. It says here, if you don't have it, grab it from here. I do have it. So we should see the Docker logo in just a moment pop up. Takes a minute to start it. You say, what's Docker? The best way I can describe Docker is that we can have a bunch of containers. And these containers run individual software for me in its own box, and it's a containerized box. The benefit of this is that it's like its own little environment that it runs software inside of that can't kind of screw other stuff up. Ben, do you have a better way to describe Docker? I'm gonna run this
No.
again. No? Okay, cool. So now it's working. Oh, error from the daemon failed. Networking failed. Okay, cool. So we're closer. So now I'm just gonna paste this in here. I'm not even reading this stuff. Like, I am being as stupid as possible. I'm burning some extra tokens. Again, I play with this stuff 2 hours a day, and I have never touched my $200 a month limit. Ben thinks that's silly. Ben touches it multiple times a day. All right, so it looks like something happened here. So, oh, this port was already being used on my machine, likely because I have Redis running. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do. I'm not even gonna check. So we'll let it cook. And once it's done, when I'm in the command prompt, if I push the up button, that does my last command. But it actually wants me to do something different. It wants me to do compose down. Now it wants me to do compose up D. Great. And now it wants me to do compose PS. And both containers should come up healthy. This says here, created 5 seconds ago, health starting. We'll run that again and see. Healthy, health starting. You see how this one went from health starting to now to healthy? This would make more sense if I zoomed out a bit. You'd see kind of how it's laid out. Right? It shows you that status healthy here. So I'm going to do it one more time. And they should both be healthy. Yeah, they're both healthy. Healthy, healthy. So cool. Both containers should come up healthy now. They do. If you want to know what's sitting on port, I don't. Then continue with this. Copy. So this is moving like this file here. Oop, done. NPM install. And then we're going to do a database generate. So it's installing the app. Ooh, that's taking some cycles. You see, this is like a little loading icon. So we're really close to showing our Drippify example. Ashley, as I do all this stuff, like, are you tuning out? Does this feel scary?
No, I'm just hearing I need to learn to be less, more blah blah blah. Okay, like I get stuff. I'm like, okay, let me figure out why line three says this instead of that.
So Ben, a while back, got that limitless device. Have you seen? Is it limitless? What is it, Ben?
Yeah,
Limitless.
this loop.
So snaps on a shirt and it records everything and sends it to his phone. And it's like, that's super cool, but like, what is that? And I played this game and ChatGPT, not even in Codex, of like, can I get this little microcontroller that I have to do that same thing? And I did, and it took me hours, and I really had to think. And it was copy paste, and it was building stuff and testing it and trying it. And it took me a long time to do it. And I finally got it to work. And I was thrilled. I could do that same thing today without any of that intelligence, just by saying, build this thing for me, go. And it does it. You like even plug in the microcontroller, and it will initialize it, flash the firmware onto it, and then reboot it and show you the windows. And then you just start talking, and it starts transcribing in real time on your computer. Like, we're at a point where you don't have to think as much. All right, so we just ran the database generate. Oh, I'm sorry, we did NPM install. So now I'm going to do the run database generate. Cool. And then I'm going to do the same one, but database migrate. I don't know what that means.
So Casey, just like
Yeah.
real dumb, like you're th these are just two windows from the terminal, like that you're running at the same time. And so you have the terminal instance that's telling you how to actually do the coding, and then the terminal that you're actually developing the software within. Is that what it
That's right.
is? Okay.
Yep. And I could, you can actually run terminal commands in Claude. I don't do that. I don't know why. I just don't. I like kind of having two spaces, but you could. You
You
just
could
do an
run it.
exclamation
You
point.
could run it within Claude code within the terminal. Is that what
Instead
you're
of me coming
saying?
over here and typing in this, I could have just come in here and typed in bang, npm run dev, enter, and that would run a command. So, okay, so look, guys, we did it all. And now it says here's the local environment and here's the network environment. Okay, cool. Starting ready. Localhost.3000.
You want to explain what localhost is?
Localhost is home. So this is my home computer. This is okay. Okay. We built this locally on this computer. So what I'm saying is on this computer, let's go and go to this application. It's a web-based application, so I have to go to it based on localhost, and then this is the IP address or the port number for it. I don't know, Ben. That doesn't seem like a good explanation. What would you say on top of that?
Localhost is just the machine that is that you're working on. So everybody right now, you're sitting in front of localhost. And so instead of like spelling out www.blahblahblah.com or whatever, you can just type localhost. And then the 3000 is what's called a port. Port is not a physical thing, it's just a number. And when you boot up a server, it's got to serve on a port. And then when you watch it, you've got to watch it from a port. And so it's just, it's your local computer on port 3000. How many ports can you have? As many as you want. Literally infinite number of ports. But you just got the server and your browser have to use the same port so that they can talk to each other.
Yeah. You're saying just display the content that we're running. Yeah. All right. So we did it. Yay, Lauren, we've got it. Here's the software that you asked for. With phase one complete or phase zero complete. So let me just say, running, is this phase zero or one? We'll see what it says. This is phase zero. You've got the scaffolding. Great. What you can do now, okay, so I'm just gonna say build phase one. And before I do that, you'll see we have prospects and import, whatever. I'm just gonna do it. It might break as I play on it because it's gonna start building in the background. But if we take a peek here, you know, what functionality do we have on this little app that we built? You can import a CSV. You can search for people. Then you can see your prospects. Okay. We have some stuff, but like no sequences. But as you can, like, you have to build the foundation first. The foundation is probably pulling all the people. And then the second thing that you do is what's defined in that next phase. So let's
And there
take a
is
peek.
still some value to this, like having your lists collapse into one spot.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and while it builds out phase one, and maybe we kind of end with phase one and we just kind of tinker with it, or we can build out more. I want to show you like how to change like names on stuff. Yeah, this is called CMOX prospecting. I don't like that the X is capitalized. How do I change that stuff? That would be going into a database and changing it typically. Here we just plain language prompt it and tell it to change it. So these are the five steps it's going to do. Add dependencies and schema, crypto helpers for token encryption. I don't even know what that's about. Google OAuth flow to log into my Google account. Email send pipeline, reply polling, plus a bunch of other stuff. So this is like it'll take some time. So it's working on the first one, and then it'll throw a checkbox on this, probably just drop it to the bottom of the list, and we won't see it. Hear how it's all working. But I hope you think like you see that developers are kind of freaking out right now because people like us can develop this stuff. That's pretty cool. We have a OS at CMOX, kind of our operational dashboard on how everything works. And Michael, do you have a second to come off mute while this is crunching?
But hold on.
He's just, he missed me, so he's watching videos of me right now.
I am working on your podcast.
Thanks. Okay, so Michael, the you came into CMOX without any developer experience.
Correct.
Like truly zero, never really poked around with anything outside of basic HTML.
Yes.
And now you've developed custom, I would call them like applications inside of our OS. Just think for us, we log in on a website at CMOX and we have access to data. We have membership data. We have data around cold email that we're sending. So for me, I hate the idea that like we send a ton of cold email. I'm a mega spammer, but I don't like the softwares that we use for it because I can never see the data on it. I don't know like how's our domain reputation? It just takes like an act of Congress to figure all that stuff out. We start pulling all that stuff into one dashboard for us. We see the whole health of the business. It's awesome. Michael, comes up with these ideas of data that he wants to have or functionality that he wants, and he just plain languages it into Claude. Claude builds it, and then he says, "Cool, push it into the OS," and it goes in. And Michael, how long did it take you to feel comfortable pushing stuff in where you weren't like squeezing tight and hoping that you didn't break everything?
I'd say a few hours of working on it after a couple of times of doing it.
A few hours. In a few hours, Michael pushed out custom software for us that solves real business problems.
And here's like a couple of takeaways that I think could help people based on, comments I saw yesterday and today. First of all, a lot of times, and I still have this happen, I have no idea how what I want would look. So, like today, I was doing something for a call we had, and I said, here's a bunch of data. I need this to show a trend, but I have no idea what that would be. Figure something out and do it. Or here's a whole bunch of things that I need. Build a way that someone could go in and enter this data. And in my mind, truly thinking, yeah, it's going to come back and tell me that it can't happen. And it always does it and figures it out better than I could have even imagined. Now, I have to then make changes and edits to it. But the big thing is, there's so little you need to know to make this work. Like Raphael and Ben were both saying yesterday as well, all of us are like, I don't understand. I will say to it, I know every word, what it means, and I have no idea how the words, the way you strung them together, have any meaning for me. It is random garbage. Talk to me like I'm five. Make this as stupid simple as you can. And I keep dumbing it down and having it just give me one thing you need answered first, so I'm not overwhelmed with 20 questions. And I'm always able to get to where I want to go, no matter how overwhelming it feels to me initially, by just constantly putting it back on Claude to find a way to get this information to me that I can answer it. And then the last piece is, as Casey has said, oftentimes I will just say, do it. Like sometimes I'll just get to the point, I don't give a shit what you need. You figure it out. That's why I'm using you. Just figure it out and make it happen and don't talk to me until it's done. And it'll then go do it. And so 90% of what's coming across the screen, I still have no idea what it means. But man, what I can make it do just blows my mind. So I
Yeah,
hope that
man.
helps. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big the biggest takeaway for me is when we started doing this stuff, it took me a level of knowledge and understanding to get started, and then seeing you without that level of knowledge and understanding surpass me on development. Like, that was really exciting. And you guys can have this too on your teams. Like, if you have someone else that works with you, they can come up with a solution and push that solution to production. That's the language of they build it and then it goes up to the website that everyone uses. So they don't have to be people who have spent years doing this stuff before. And I have spent more time than Michael on this, and he is as good as I am now. And it's only taken him a few hours. I think that's really, really exciting. It takes intelligent people, but it doesn't take experienced people. And that's why, like, the business logic is the most important thing in all of this stuff. And like initial infrastructure, you get the initial infrastructure right, you get the business logic right, everything else is pretty easy. Charles, I think you've got a good question here. Do you want to come off mute? Yeah, so you're in the legal space. Yeah, and running on a local server. So I want to suggest that you're not allowed to build for your clients because it is so protected, and like, that's dangerous, dude. Like, I'm not going to get in front of a bunch of lawyers and build technology for them that has a likelihood of getting breached because I know nothing about security. The only security thing I know is I saw something on Reddit once to tell Claude to run a couple security checks. Like, that's not good, man. A lot of people have like their API credentials or their database that are exposed because it loads before the authentication loads or whatever. Like, super dangerous. So first thing I would say is like, don't, you're not allowed to build it. You're allowed to suggest it and build an MVP that you declare is not allowed to be used with customer data. And then you got to bring someone in that is accountable that you can sue if they screw it up. I think
Okay.
that's really important.
No, I agree. It's terrifying for me, but I don't have any choice with client data, right? I can't anonymize everything because you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Just.
So if you use the AI tool to build the thing, and then you ingest, and then you move that to an air-gapped computer. So this is a computer that's not connected to the internet, and use a thumb drive to pull your customer list into it, and then you ingest that customer list, and then you do all your stuff there. That's fine, because you're not connected to the internet. But the second you connect something that you vibed out, it's just, I think it opens you up to a lot of potential.
Yeah, I don't want that. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a, I
Do you
need to
think you'll
use it,
build
but it's kind
something?
of a terror. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think we should all have a healthy fear around this stuff. Because if something happens and a bunch of customer information gets leaked, I shared this previously. I met with a new friend of mine. He's a CTO of a hospital group, and he was telling me about another hospital group in the Philly area, New Jersey maybe. That did like breast reconstruction after breast surgery, breast cancer surgery. And they had all these photos of the women before and after surgery topless. And that data got leaked out. So they held them ransom. And the hospital group was like, you don't have the data. We don't believe you. And they're like, well, we're going to leak it all. And they leaked it out. And each of these women got $100,000. And there were 66 women or something like that. And, you know, I mean, just millions of dollars in damages, plus like reputation damage and everything else. Like, you don't want to be the guy who's touching that data. You want that to be somebody else. And attacks never happen because someone's out to get you. They happen because you're a target. Everyone's a target, and they're just trying to see who they can get into. Super dangerous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that story got me like so deep. It's like those women deserved more money, but the company obviously couldn't afford to spend more than $60 million on the suit, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, and in some cases, I mean, maybe there's an admission of guilt for a crime. It's like, how do you compensate for
How, yeah, right,
that?
exactly. Terrifying. Okay, so
Errors and omissions policy.
yeah,
I
but
mean,
also
I would
don't put
never get
yourself in a position where you
hired
need it.
again.
Yes,
All
that's
right, so
true.
this is running. So we finished the phase one. This is running. I'm going to tell you something. Because this is running, this is the literal server. You're like, what's a server? This is it. It's giving us all the data. I'm just going to press Control C, and that'll terminate what's happening. Now I'm back at the prompt, and I'm just going to follow this stuff. Docker compose up D. I wrote it before, so I'm going to cheat. And then npm install. I think I'm going to run into needing to add in some custom stuff here. Let's see. So now we're kind of like reinstalling the app because we moved to a new phase. So we developed a new, we had like the app running phase zero. We built phase one. We now have to stop the running one and then install it up to phase one and then boot up phase one. So this looks fine. And then I might have to pause my screen here. Let's see. Oops. Do. I'm gonna plug that one in. All right. And then, oh. So then I have to do this. Enable. Okay, so I have to go to console.cloud.google.com. And I'm just gonna take a moment to log in here. And follow the instructions. So I'm in my Google Cloud Console. Let's just see. I'm just not going to set this up. I'm not going to set up the Google part of it. So emails will not be able to send. I will continue sharing my screen though. So I'm going to just go to the next thing here, which is this. Which is the database stuff, and then you do the same thing again, but I'm gonna type in migrate. And then in two terminals.
Casey, are these two terminals connecting to the same computer, or are you running one locally and one remote?
Everything that you're seeing on the screen is my remote desktop.
Oh, why don't you just on that first screen where it's telling you all the stuff to do, why don't you just say, hey, can you just do this for me?
It's a good question. I think I like seeing the readout of it all to let me know what's going on. But I could. Because what it's going to do is it's going to flood with history, right? It's going to show that this is starting and like what's happening and like the polling of it. So I'm going to move this over to the D drive, CD projects, CD CMOX demo. And then I'm going to type in npm run worker. So I have the two that are running kind of concurrently. Worker's running, this is running. And I mean, it probably should work. So let's just take a look here at where we're at. We're going to refresh and look at all the new stuff that we have, Lauren. Prospects, tasks, sequences, templates, import settings.
Awesome.
Yeah, is anything clickable?
Yeah, let's see.
It's trying. So I have some
Not
error.
yet.
Okay, hydration failed.
Can I ask a
Cool.
question?
Yeah.
This might be so silly, but if it's a local drive and you build this kind of software for yourself, can somebody just go in and download it and say, I'm going to just use the same formula without having to rebuild again?
Yeah. Yep. So what we do actually is we then push this. The typical thing that you do is you move that to. Oh, sorry, it just fixed that problem, Lauren. I just pasted in the exact problem,
Yes,
and if
and
I
it fixed it.
refresh, it should go away. Yeah. So now the problem's gone. Crazy. Here you go.
Yeah, sorry.
Sequences. New
Yeah.
sequence name. Create description. Tasks associated with them. Prospects. Templates. With tokens that we can use, and then import. And then our settings gives us these settings. And then connected to Gmail. I'd have to, it's not gonna like this. I didn't finish setting it up.
Yeah.
So the auth isn't set up because I didn't add something to the config file. But I mean, there you go. You have something now that's like pretty close to being useful. Ashley, have you heard of GitHub?
Yes.
So if we go to GitHub, I have built is it? Here it is. I built a LinkedIn tool. And I shared it with folks, built it about a month ago. So here's all the code that I built, and I uploaded it to GitHub. You say, like, what's GitHub? Like, why does it matter? What's I can take all these files that were just produced in the command line, like every file that we generated, and I could save that to Google Drive. And like then I could share you on that Google Drive and you could download it. And that's fine. That's one way to do it. The problem is versioning. I want to make some edits and I want to be able to track my edits over time. GitHub allows us to do that. Like, in a Google Doc, I can look at version history and see stuff.
Yep.
And it has like strikeouts and then like in green what you added. That's what we can do in GitHub. That's like kind of the natural thing with GitHub. When it's just me in GitHub, that's one thing. Like, that's me just kind of having a better work environment. But then I can have collaborators. So if we found some open source software like a Discourse, GitHub. Let's see if we can find their repo. Great. So here's Discourse, like the CMOX lab. We can see that their last edits were 2 hours ago to the files. And we can see that they've had 65,000 saves or commits. And we can see who the contributors are for that. So 977 people have committed, saved files to this repo. And it's kind of like a check-in, check-out process. If it's like a library books, I'm gonna check out a book, I'm gonna edit it, I'm gonna check it back in. And when I check it back in, all of my edits are listed on the time and date and what I edited. So that's how we share the stuff. And just to show you what a commit looks like, that just happened 49 minutes ago. Let's just look at what this guy committed. And let's see this. Here you go. He removed this red text and added that green one. He removed this red text. That's part of his commit. Was he like clean some stuff up? So you can kind of look at what Jordan did and see if something's broken, or we now have a bug that happened, can we localize the bug to a specific place like the settings page? Who edited the settings page? Oh, that was Ben. When he added the code in, he removed this, or he loads this before that, and that was incorrect. And Claude will fix that stuff.
It
But
worked on
that's
my
entirely
computer.
separate. That's entirely separate from, like, say Lauren has the software now, she uploads her list into that one software that's localized. The people on here are not going to see those
No, that's on her
uploads right
computer. It's saved to her computer like it's like a personal
now.
file
Got
system
it.
that she has. If she chose to develop the software and give it to all of us, she could make a GitHub repo like I did for this LinkedIn tool and add us as collaborators or make it public. So we have collaborators here. There's a couple of y'all that are on there. Logged in right now. But yeah, so what I just developed is local to my computer unless I choose to push it someplace so other people can have it. Otherwise, I have
Makes
it.
sense.
But also, if my computer gets shut down, it stops running. If my computer breaks, I lose everything. So GitHub gives you an opportunity to have a backup, and then a server that you would pay monthly for gives you the opportunity to run the code without it being on your computer so that you can turn your computer off at night.
Okay.
Okay, so there's plenty more steps we can do here. Let's just do one quick step here, which is I just want to change something in real time for you. So here we go. Just so you can see in real time, change the title of the site to Lauren's Prospecting Wizard. And let's just see what happens. Right now it says CMOX prospecting and CMOX. We'll probably have to refresh the page. Done. Look at that right there. Lauren's Prospecting Wizard. And I would say change the style sheet to look more modern, like an Apple product. So you want like UI design, like user interface. We can do that, or we can give it like mock-ups. There's also style sheets that we can kind of grab from other places and make it look like something. So Apple-inspired aesthetic, light by default, system blue accent, hairline borders, generous white space. Great. Now, like, how long would this take? You know, the client wants you to do something, and they're like, I hate the look of this thing. You're like, give me 1 minute, and boom, you can change the look of everything. And again, I think y'all could get this far. I don't know how much further I'd have you go, but you could go this far and then deliver this to the client and say, what do you think about this? What if all this stuff worked? Cool, let's get this built. Let's hire a developer for it. Now you're helping them make their dreams come true without taking over the responsibility of development. Look at that. That's like Apple style, right? That looks good. All right, who's feeling stuck on this?
This is very impressive, Casey. It's
Could you
fun.
do it, Carolyn?
Sorry?
Could you do it?
I think if I took my time and walked myself through it, Lauren just made a comment in the chat about Claude walked her through how to set up a terminal. I thought, oh, I never even thought about that. So I think it's more stuff like that to just remind myself that all these questions are answerable. I've just got to ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can
And
literally just sit with like the Claude regular user interface and the terminal on the other side and be like, I don't know what to do next. And it'll tell you, like I said, I don't have any development experience. Explain to me what I'm doing so I can learn how to use the terminal. And it told me like, all right, well now you're going to use this command and that's because this command does this and this and this. Like explained it to me logically so that like within, you know, the 20 minutes that I was working with it, I was able to like not only execute something easy, but also it like taught me how to what I was doing while I was doing it.
Yeah, it's really it's really fascinating how quickly that came together. It was like 2 hours. What I'm really interested though is I saw the tokens burning away in the background, and I'd love to know
Oh,
how much
usage?
it cost.
Yeah, sure. I got worried about it before, but I'll tell you it's nothing. So let me just show you. I'm going to open up that terminal again, and I'm going to do slash usage, and mine resets in on the 14th in 2 days. I have been pretty light this week. Usually I'm like below 50%. I pay $200 a month for Claude, and I use it on Macs with Opus 4.7. So I can go up to a higher, or maybe I use it on extra high, then I use it on Macs. So total cost for this session, if we paid just API tokens for it, if we paid like kind of base rate for it, instead of having a $200 a month subscription, if I just paid for the tokens that I needed to build this, it would have cost me $10 just today. Add that to yesterday, maybe we're at $25 or something in token utilization.
Okay.
So $25 to build the software so far, then maybe it's going to cost us $100 to build something that we're happy with. Like you'll build something, you'll feel good, you'll start using it, and you'll be like, well, that doesn't work. Oh, when I reply to this person, the replies aren't getting caught. I need the reply to be added in here. Type that in, and then it builds that out. And then, the next problem, we type that out, builds that out. And before you know it, you have like very complex software. Yeah. The problem a lot of you will face is you'll just abandon these projects. You'll get the dopamine from it. You'll feel like you're doing something exciting. You'll abandon it. It'll be gone. You'll be a little bit smarter, but you'll have wasted a lot of time. If you use it because you're learning and it's play and you're not teasing yourself that you're going to build a super profitable business by building AI tools, then cool. I think it's fun to play with it. Just be cautious that you're not overusing this stuff and trying to build something that takes you away from serving your clients.
We're thinking.
We're
Yeah,
thinking.
we are.
Yeah. Get pretty lazy. Like turn the video off on a camera, the call, and then just ask Claude while you're talking to a client. Definitely never done that. Yeah, cool. Any last questions before we wrap for today?
Are you going to give us like a something that we can take from this so that we can utilize this?
Build this into a GitHub repo.
Yeah.
Make it private. Name it CMOX Pros. AI prospecting tool. There you go.
Yeah, and
So,
then
and I'll show you.
if we bring it to our computers, then we can actually finish the build out.
Yep. And take it from there.
Yeah. Awesome.
So my GitHub name, you'll see it as Waffle Slop. It's a family name. You can have any name you want on the internet. I don't know why you guys just use your actual names. All right, so this is building it all. We're going to get our own repo here. And if we come in, I don't know if I'm, yeah, I'm logged in. So it should show the repo soon. I built a tool that like pulled in health data from like a smartwatch that I had and some other stuff. And then dumped it all into a Google Sheet. This is a cool project I built. I don't know, it took me like a month and a half to build it. I could run the same thing, probably one shot it right now. So it pulled in. I know you were doing like MyFitnessPal kind of stuff that you were building, Lauren, your own macro tracker. I was using Chronometer. So I pulled in Chronometer, Withings scale, Polar, chest strap, that kind of stuff, and dumped it all into Google Sheets based on goals. And it was able to compute stuff for me. I used Make for it. Make was really hard for me. I really struggled with that. But any second now, we should start seeing a new repo that was added. Here it is. So now it's updated. All the codes in here, actually, that we wrote. What's not in here is the .claude file. So I am going to tell it real quick, and then I got a jet. But I'm going to say add .claude file. And all our notes for next phases. That way you guys have like everything. And the dot Claude is kind of like it's a kind of memory on what it's doing.
Now, if somebody walks by and yells the light.
We'll do a post in the lab to get everyone's GitHub username or email address, and then we'll add you into this, and then you'll have access and you'll be able to take it from there. Sound good?
Great.
Cool. Awesome. I want to
Thanks,
say,
Casey.
KP. Yeah, KP, I want to reach out to you. I want us to keep talking. I'll reach out to you. I just have a call I got to jump to. All right. Good to see you guys. Take care. Bye.